Amen. Amen, church. Weak made strong in the Savior's love. Weak made strong in the Savior's love through the storm. Aren't you glad we have a God that stays with us through the storm? Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. My name is Yvonne Samia, and I'm super blessed to be able to be here with you all and to share the Word of God this morning. The last time I was up here, it was like February 3rd, I believe, and it was Super Bowl Sunday, and I had shared with you that my father had passed away, and praise God, he's in the perfect place. And since then, we were able to celebrate his life, and I just want to say thank you so much to Majors Phil and Debbie and this amazing Croc Ohana for all the love and support throughout the past couple of months. So, you know, Mom and Dad were married for 63 years, and so, yes, amen. So, yeah, it's been a transition for Mom, so I've just been kind of like hanging out with her and helping her through that process. But again, I'm just so blessed and so happy to be back in the house of God with you all this morning. So, welcome. All right. So today we are going to go back into the Experiencing God Bible study. And today we're going to be in Unit 11. And then next week will be our last week, and that'll be Unit 12. And I absolutely love this story. How many of you are enjoying this study? Yeah? Yes. Awesome. Yeah. But you know, last week Sunday in our women's Bible study group, some were expressing feelings, guilty feelings, about not being able to keep up with the study. And that's the challenge, right, of a long, in-depth study like this, that it's not unusual that people will fall behind and then try to rush through the chapters or the units to try and catch up. But then you start feeling like, you know, you're not really experiencing God the way that the study intended for you to do so. And then somebody in our group said something so profound. She said, "You know, girls, God doesn't really care what unit or what chapter you're in. He just wants to spend time with you. And he just wants your heart. It doesn't really matter to him if you're in Unit 11 or you're in Unit 1. He just wants to spend quality time with you. So, if it takes you a little longer to go through the study, no worries. Because God can speak to you just as clearly in Unit 1 as he can in Unit 11. God will speak to you in every unit." See, that's why I love facilitating this group. Even though we only have a little less than an hour together every Sunday, which is really a short time, and it's an especially short time when it's a group of women, because us girls like to talk. But I really believe that when God and his word is the focus, that he can take those short 45 minutes and turn it into a spiritual feeding that can impact us for a lifetime. And so we girls often refer to that room as our gas station, that that's where we go to get our spiritual tanks filled up, and then we go back to wherever God sends us to make an impact for his kingdom. So, if I may also take the liberty to say this, life does get us busy, right, church? Life gets us busy. But I pray that your lifeline to Jesus is not just a weekly group meeting or the message from the pulpit. Although I am deeply honored and blessed that God would allow me to share his word from here up in the pulpit, I'm humbled. I cannot tell you how important it is that you have your own relationship with God, that you read the Bible for yourself, that you have your own personal prayer time with him so that you can hear directly from him. Because, you know, sometimes people depend on others for their spiritual feeding, and as good or as famous as some preachers might be, the message from any pulpit should not be all that feeds you every week. I'm guilty of that sometimes, especially when I get busy. Like, I enjoy listening to Priscilla Shire, I love T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer, but if I'm not careful, I can spend more time listening to them than I do reading the Bible for myself and spending time in prayer so that I can hear directly from God, so that I can have a real relationship with Him. You know, John 15:5 says this, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." See, church, that's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him. He wants each of us that our very existence would depend on being connected to him. He is our vine. He wants to be our lifeline. Okay? So that's just my mama's heart for all of you. Now, let me pray and we'll get on with today's message. Father, I thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for your word. I thank you for this church, Father. Father, you know each individual that has come here. You know what's in their heart, Father God. You know what challenges they're facing in this season, Father. And so, Father, I just ask you, Lord, that you would touch their heart, Father God, that you would fill their spiritual tank, that you would strengthen them, Father, that when they leave here, they will leave not the same as they came. And so, Father, I declare that your word will not return void, but it will go forward and accomplish everything that you have set it out to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So last week, Matt's message was from Unit 10, the church. And today we are in Unit 11, Kingdom People. And I want to tell you that today's message will be quite fundamental. Sometimes, and it's especially true for me, to gain a deeper understanding of even the most obvious terms, I need to revisit or remind myself of what certain things are by breaking it down to the basics. And so, you know, I'm sure a lot of you know, especially you sports-minded people, that in sports, fundamentals build champions and fundamentals win championships. And so I believe that the same is true here for our team as we set out to win this world for Christ. So, who are kingdom people? You know, here in modern day USA, we've not been accustomed to living under the rule of a king. And so the concept of a kingdom may be to some of us like something that's kind of out there. And maybe even for others, a kingdom doesn't seem very real. So I want to take a look at the meaning of kingdom and answer the question of who are kingdom people? So what is a kingdom? Webster says this, that it's a politically organized community. But I really like Webster's number two definition, which says, the eternal kingship of God. B says, the realm in which God's will is fulfilled. So for every kingdom, there is a king. God is the king of the kingdom of heaven. And I don't think any of us dispute that, right? See, when Jesus came from heaven to earth, he spoke about the kingdom of God more than he did any other topic. In Matthew 6, Jesus himself tells us how we ought to pray. He says this in verse 9, "Then this is how you should pray, our Father who art in heaven." God is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means God's name is holy, period. God is king, period. God is sovereign, exclamation mark. 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here we're praying for God to be sovereign here on earth, just as he is in heaven. So think about that, church. Is God truly as sovereign here on earth as he is in heaven? Does he have the same sovereignty over your life right now that he would have in heaven? See, too often we make this world to be about us, and it's really not. The only reason that we are here, the only reason that we exist here on earth, is to fulfill the will of God. And the will of God is that we would allow him to extend his heavenly kingdom here on earth, in and through us. Seriously, that's why God created us. Sounds like a pretty tall order, right? But no worries, because God is not calling us to be perfect. He's just calling us to be obedient. So let's look at God's intent from the beginning, as in the beginning. Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1:1 through 25, we see all that God created here on earth in the first 5 days. And then on the sixth day, God created man. Genesis 1:26-31 says this: Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion or rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it," or control it, "and have dominion, rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on this earth." See, church, God's intent from the very beginning was to establish his heavenly kingdom here on earth, and he intended for man to have dominion or control. Okay, quick commercial. Why in verse 26 does God say, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness"? Like, was God alone, or did he have somebody with him? Why does he use those plural terms? Well, we're not going to have time to talk about it today, but let that be your homework. Go deeper. See, my prayer is that whatever is said from this pulpit, that it will cause you to go home and pull out your Bible. So, not on your phones right now, please. But when you go home, research, why does God say, "Let us make man in our own image"? Okay, commercial pow. Back to today's message. So, in Genesis 1, what was God doing? He was creating his kingdom here on earth. But then what happened? Well, very familiar to us all, we see in Genesis chapter 3 comes the fall, when Adam and Eve were disobedient to God. In verse 23, we see that God banished them from the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was short-lived because it didn't take Adam and Eve very long to exercise their free will and choose disobedience. See, sometimes, church, we think that Adam and Eve ruined it for the rest of us, right? Often relative to this, I hear people say, "Oh, just wait till I meet up with Adam and Eve in heaven. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind." But before we are so quick to blame Adam and Eve for us not living the good life in the paradise of the Garden of Eden, think about this. Are we not Adam and Eve all over again every day in the disobedient choices that we make? You know, like the literally hundreds of cable channels that we can choose from, yet we choose to watch the channel we know should be forbidden? or the tons of healthy food choices that we pass and eat the very things that are destroying this temple of God? Or that relationship that you're in that is out of alignment with God's word, but hey, why not? Everyone's doing it. Must I go on? But here's the good news, folks. Even though Adam and Eve messed up, and we messed up just as badly, God still loves us. And God still wants us to be his people, his kingdom people. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sin. Jesus, when he came to earth, he arrived in very humble surroundings. Many didn't accept him then, and many reject him today. But make no mistake about it, Jesus was and is the King of Kings. And he came to earth not just to save us, but to extend God's heavenly kingdom here on earth. And he invites us to become involved with him in his work. So man, I really, really, really want to hammer this home. It's fundamental, it's basic, but it's so important that we get this. So this film clip that we're about to watch will take everything that I've been laying out for the past 15, 20 minutes, and it'll summarize it in 3 minutes. So that's powerful, right? It's powerful. And, you know, sometimes we get so busy in life, and sometimes we think life is so complicated, but this really breaks it down to the basics, right? God is King. He sent Jesus to save us. And he needs us to help him extend his kingdom, heavenly kingdom, here on earth. That's really what this whole life is about. And so I feel like if you look on the back of your book of Experiencing God, you see the seven realities of experiencing God. And so I just want to review them with you in this moment. And so number one says, God is always at work around you. And that's absolutely true, right? If we take the time to stop, look, and listen, we will see that God is doing a work around us. Number two says, God pursues a continuing loving relationship with you that is real and personal. We serve a real God who wants a real relationship with you, a real personal relationship with you. And then God invites you to become involved with him in his work. So sometimes the busyness of life gets us so distracted, but really, he's inviting us to do what he's already been doing all around us. And number four says, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstance, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. Number five, God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. And what you do next will say a lot about what you believe about God. Number six, you must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what he's doing. So that's the hard part for many of us, right? Being willing to let go and follow God. That's the obedience part. And then seven, you come to know God by experience as you obey him and he accomplishes his work through you. And that obedience is so important. So how many of you believe that God speaks to you? And I don't mean in general terms like God speaks to man, but that he actually speaks to you personally. How many of you believe that? Yeah, awesome. I love that. You know, one of the things that absolutely amazes me about God every time I prepare for a sermon is the way that he speaks to me. And for all of us who have the privilege of speaking from this pulpit, I'm sure they experience this with God as well. So let me share my experience with you. So I'm preparing for this message, and I'm praying and studying and researching, and there's so much from the book, but you only have like 25 minutes up here. And so I wasn't sure what the focus should be. And I was like, God, what do you want to say? And I wasn't sure what to keep in and what to keep to cut out and which scripture to focus on. And so I was in Matthew 6 prayer and began typing it into the body of my transcript. And then I thought otherwise, and I deleted it. And I thought, maybe I should use another scripture. And so I took Matthew 6 out, and then I put it back in, and then I took it out again, and I went in a totally different direction. And quite honestly, I was starting to stress. And finally, I just stopped, and I sat there quiet, and I just started staring out my window of my bedroom, trying to be still. And then my phone went ping, you know, like it does when it's sending you an alert. And so I pick up my phone and I look at it, and it's the YouVersion application, and it's the verse of the day. And the verse is from Matthew 6. Isn't God good? Yes, yeah. Cooler still is that right after I wrote the message, God led me to that film clip that was like confirmation to me that this message was on the right track. Except what took me like a whole week to write, God summarizes it in 3 minutes. I was like, geez, thanks God. Okay. But church, I'm going to wrap this up, and I'm going to ask Matt to come back up here. But I just want to say this to you in closing, church, is that's the kind of God that we serve, that he wants to speak to you, that he wants to speak to me, and he will. But are you listening? Is life so busy that you can't hear him? And you know, often the enemy can use our busyness to distract us from our focus on God. Can you be still long enough to hear him? And even if you do hear him, will you allow him to do what he needs to do in and through you to accomplish his will and extend his heavenly kingdom here on earth? Will you, in obedience, surrender your will to his? I know that's hard. That's so hard for me a lot of the times because I'm so used to being in control. It's one thing to hear him again, but will you obey? You know, again, church, God's not asking us to be perfect. He's just calling us to be obedient. And you know, that obedience may lay outside of your comfort zone, right? Because of a lot of us, you know, we're so comfortable in the way we've been living. And when God calls us outside of that, we have a very hard time letting go and following God outside of this comfort zone. But can I tell you this? It's outside of your comfort zone where God will grow you. It's outside of your comfort zone where God will bless you. It's outside of your comfort zone where the miracles lie. And it's outside of your comfort zone that God will use you to do amazing things, to impact lives on behalf of his kingdom, that you will be his kingdom people to bring his heavenly kingdom here on earth. If that's you, if that's who you want to be, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand in obedience so that I can pray for us. How many of you are kingdom people? You want to serve him, but sometimes it's hard to let go and to step outside of your comfort zone, right? And so I just want to pray for us, all of us, me included. I'll raise both hands. I just want to pray that God would give us the courage to do that. And I'm going to pray that we all would seek him first, and all these things he will add unto us. So if you would bow your heads and allow me to pray. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Father, I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us the courage, Father God, to step out of our comfort zone. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are your kingdom people. Father God, we say, have your way. We say, may thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that you need us, Heavenly Father, to be your kingdom people, to expand and extend your heavenly kingdom here on earth, that we would go out, Heavenly Father, as you have already equipped us to reach the lost, to be a blessing, Heavenly Father, to all those who need to hear of the good news that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sin. Father, thank you so much for loving us unconditionally. I pray over everyone here and every family represented, Father God. And we just commission them, Heavenly Father, to go out and to spread the good news to every corner that you send them, Heavenly Father. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here. Bless them now. In Jesus' name, amen.